Hallelujah. Thank you, Daisy. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank God for those our brethren traveled, and the Lord brought you back, Pastor Cathy and the family. Thank you. And all our brethren who traveled and they are back, you are welcome. And those who are still on the journey, the Lord will bring you back safely. Thank God for Pastor Grace. You are welcome. In Jesus' name. I want to thank God for our pastor and the wife. Always a great privilege to stand, to share. It's because he has a big heart. I want to say thank you. I'm not taking that for granted. Amen. I don't know if I have the time for all that the Lord has for us this morning, but it's not near, but it's near in the spirit. Amen. I still feel we should do body ministration. Let's read from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We read verses 51 to 53. Luke 9, 51 to 53. Luke 9. And we are going to, if you don't mind, we still have to pray with one another on this. It's a challenge for us this morning. Let's remember that. It's a story of Jesus now journeying to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. I want us to take ourselves in twos. If you would like, you can get up from where you are. If you feel like sitting down, that's okay. I want us to ask ourselves this morning, when Jesus was born, there was no room in the inn. So he was born in the manger. Now he's going to the cross. They were to prepare a place for him in a village in Samaria. They did not receive him. Will you make room for him? Will you make room for him in your heart, in your life, in your family? Let us pray on that. So I said, help me to make room for you. Help me to consciously make room for you. Shall we pray? Let's pray. We can hold one another, your hands, and pray. Help me to make room for you. Lord, help me to make room for you. Help me to make room for you. Thank you, Father. Help me to make room for you. Help me, Lord, to make room for you in my life, in my home, my ministry. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. May there be room in our lives, in our families, in our heart, in our business for Jesus. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to read two scriptures. I was wondering why this kept coming up, but just have to read. First scripture is Galatians chapter 4, Galatians 4, 4 to 5, Galatians 4, 4 to 5, and the second one we are going to read will be Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 8, Galatians 4, 4 to 5, do we have it there? Okay. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And then Philippians chapter 2, 6 to 8. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, one servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, the God-man. Jesus, the God-man. Jesus Christ, though truly man, Jesus Christ, though truly human, yet he is divine in a way no other human being had been or ever can be. He was pure, selfless, and impeccable in character. Jesus is love. There are some events in the life of Christ that showed his uniqueness, and we need to learn from that. So I want to just see some of them this morning. Tomorrow we'll be reminding ourselves about the birth of Jesus. So let's see some things in the life of Christ, some events that we have to learn from. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. The first one is incarnation. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. Talking about, and that is the festive. That is the season we are in now. So the first event we are looking at is the incarnation of Christ. That is, God became flesh. And that Galatians says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son. God works with time. Divine timing. Divine timing in heaven. The time came for the redemption of man. God sent his son. Born of a woman. Born under the law. Reference was made only to the woman. Alright? And born under the law. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus chapter 12, 5, before the Israelites left Egypt, there was the order God gave through Moses. Every lamb, Exodus 12, 5, that lamb must be a lamb that is without any blemish. A lamb with no blemish. And that lamb have to be kept for a certain time. And that lamb was to be killed. And the innocent blood have to be shed and applied at the doorpost. We know the story very well. The time came for God to liberate humanity. In the Old Testament, it was a type and shadow. God was pointing to something. Pointing to perfect redemption that will come. But before that time, there was a temporary covering. There was going to be the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. And that is going to also signal the deliverance of as many as we believe in Christ from the slave market of sin in kingdom. So, the blood of innocent animal was shed. Now, God needed the purest of all blood to make atonement for the sins of man. If the devil is going to be cowed and conquered, and man is going to be delivered from his hands, there must be the sacrifice of the purest blood. And remember, in the book of Revelation, John said, I wept greatly because there was no one to open the seal. Because nobody was qualified among men, among angels. Nobody. Nobody. The angels that were looking at God, worshiping God every day, they were not pure enough to sacrifice for mankind. And so God volunteered himself. God became flesh. God became man. That is a mystery. I am not a scientist. I just dabble into something to put this together. They said for every human being there are 46 chromosomes. For the female, they have XX, that's a pair of 23 of it, making 46. And that is for the females. For the male, you have XY, a pair of X, 23, and then the Y, 23, combined together making 46. And now when a man and a woman, husband and wife, meet together, the woman provides the egg, but the man provides the seed. The seed that comes from the man, if at the time of, you know, releasing the seed, only X came from the man to join the X of the woman, then it means the woman is going to have a baby girl. But if the Y comes and join the X of the woman, of the wife, then it means the wife or the woman is going to have a baby boy after 6 weeks. They said every baby, every child in the womb begins as a female. After 6-7 weeks, then if the wife is there, it's determined now that it's going to be a man. Why am I saying this? The angel appeared unto Mary and said, thou shalt have a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And Mary said, how can this be, since I know no man? How can it happen? And not only that, I'm a virgin. I don't know any man. And apart from that, a man is needed. Of course, maybe at that time. But even with the understanding, there is no way that kind of miracle, except it's truly a miracle from God. Hallelujah. It happened only once. And it has never happened. It will never happen. So God, the angel told Mary, you know what is going to happen to you? The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that holy child that you are going to deliver will be called the Son of God. Because God will provide the power. That power will envelop you. The why that is needed will be provided without you having any intercourse with anybody. And that is a mystery. And that is why Jesus did not carry the sin nature, because he did not carry the seed from man. And that is why it was the pure blood, the sinless blood, to redeem us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that we all need the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit today? There are so many mysteries. There are so many things. There are so many issues. So many difficulties. There are so many impossible situations, habits, problems, addiction, things that goes beyond human ability that scientifically people have not been able to solve. But when and whenever God chooses to do his miracle, and there is this overshadowing of the presence of God, that is when miracle takes place. That's why you hear people are healed without medication. That's why you hear that people who are blind are receiving their sight. The lame begin to walk. There is an overshadowing of the Spirit of God. And we need that today like never before. We need his presence. We need his presence. We don't just want to do church. We need more of him. So we are celebrating the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, God becoming flesh, miraculously providing what he needed. Just like Abraham, the son of Abraham, Isaac, was asking his father, we have this, we have that, we have everything. Where is the lamb? See, that is beyond us here. See, God will provide for himself a lamb. And God did. Brethren, we need his overshadowing. Like never before. It's coming. The coming of Jesus It came miraculously in a powerful way that is sending a message. And that should send a message to us again, remind us again that what is impossible with us is possible with Him. All we need is to say, Lord, we can't do it without You. We need Your overshadowing presence. We need Your glory. And He will do it. Because it's in his power to do it, to do that. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The second event in the life of Jesus was His water baptism. There are many things that happened that we don't have record of, but when He was 30, we're told, according to the scripture, that He went to be baptized. I want us to read the scriptures. If you want to write something down, that the first one I wrote down, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, Luke 1, 20, 34 to 35. That is the first point. And Exodus 12:5. Now the second one is baptism. That happened at River Jordan. I want us to read Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Okay? We have it on the board. Matthew 3, 13 says, Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by Him. And John tried to prevent Him, saying, I need to be baptized by You. And are You coming to Me? But Jesus answered and said unto him, Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then He allowed him. Then He allowed him. 16. When He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. The Lord is teaching me more and more on this aspect I'm about to mention now. You know, the baptism of Jesus in Jordan River was an act of submission. Act of submission. God who became flesh, John knew that I ought to be baptized by You. You coming to me to baptize You? No. It can't be. But Jesus said, let it be so now. There is need for submission so that all righteousness be fulfilled. If there is anything that is missing today, brethren, especially in the body of Christ, is submission. Humility and submission. Jesus, there is something the Lord dropped in my heart. See, for the devil to be truly overthrown, and for billions of people that he held captive to be free, there must be a contrast to what he is by nature. There must be a contrast to what he is doing practically. And until we have somebody that can do that, there can't be salvation. And that was why God provided by Himself. And that's why Jesus had to become so low. The Bible says He became low. He became, you know, not only that He put on flesh, I mean He put on His glory, He put on human flesh. That book of Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back there because we didn't read it. Let's read it because we come back to point number 2. I want us to see it. Philippians chapter 2, if it's on the board, let's read it. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. We read it, okay? Say, who being in the form of God
did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but what? Made himself. He made himself submission. He made himself. They didn't make him. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. He didn't stop there. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He came so low to the lowest in order to contrast, to counter what the devil did and what he is. What did the devil do? How was he cast down? I will raise my throne to the highest. I will go up. His aim and goal was to go higher, take over from God, take his position. You know, he wanted to be higher than what he was and take the position of God. So he was cast down. Now, for someone to be able to deliver mankind and dispose the enemy of his power and influence, that person, that individual, that power, whoever the person may be, must come so low, because it's the opposite. The devil went up, but the person must go so low, because he doesn't understand it, that the way down is up. He wanted to be up, so he was thrown down. That was why Jesus had to come so low. He made himself of no reputation. And when he was found in the form of a man, he obeyed him. He obeyed even to the point of death, even the death on the cross, which is a criminal death. He did that for you and for myself. Hallelujah. Submission. How are we submitting today? How are we submitting? You cannot be victorious if you are not submissive and humble. You cannot be, let me repeat that again. You cannot be victorious if you are not submissive and humble to God and authority that is set over you. I've learned this many years ago. If you are not doing it, resume. I'm not talking about face submission or false humility. Please, the way up is down, and the way to victory is you submitting. Do you have any power over you? Any authority over you? Could be in your working place, in the home, you have the husband, in the church, we have leaders, in the body of Christ, we have leaders. You can't truly experience victory if you are not genuinely submissive and obedient and humble. Because what the devil did was, he was proud. He wanted to take over. That is the opposite of submission and humility. So what Jesus demonstrated at the River Jordan was to say, look, I'm not only submitting to my Father, I can submit to human being. Because at that time, John the Baptist was the one right there doing the baptism. And if he's going to go forward, if Jesus was to go forward, and if he's going to begin his ministry, which is the key and the gateway to his ministry, baptism must happen. If he avoids John and do it in his own way or anybody, that is, in fact, what the devil is looking for is just for him to break one of the laws. Just disobey. Just, you know, do things in your own way. That disqualifies you from being the Savior. Jesus knew this. So he told him, look, for now, to fulfill all righteousness, don't worry. Let's do it that way. Show the example of humility, of submission. May the Lord teach us obedience. May the Lord teach us submission. May the Lord help us to be humble. In the mighty name of Jesus. Second thing there at the baptism was his approval. Alright? Immediately Jesus was baptized, the Bible says he was praying, in another version. As he was praying, heaven was opened. And then the Holy Spirit, in form of a dove, came and alighting on him, and the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He got an approver, and he was commissioned. Don't forget, it was 100% God, 100% man. As man, he must obey, he must submit, he must show humility. As man, he must not jump the gun. He must listen to what the Spirit is saying, to what the Father is saying. That's why he said, "I do nothing except whatever I see my Father do." Brethren, we have a lot to learn in our decisions, in what we do. Do we have approval? In John chapter 2, verse 24 to 5, the Bible says that Jesus, you know, a day after a miracle occurred, all right, in verse 24, the Bible says that Jesus will not commit himself to men because he knows what is in them. All right? One word. Let's do self-checking. We don't have to be checked by anybody. How am I doing? How am I submitting? Do I genuinely do it? Do I obey God? Am I truly submitted to God and his word? First. To God and his word. And if there's any little rebellion, if there are things that we are not doing well, we better go for repentance. The way to break through and break forth, repentance. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. There are things that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you if you ask him to do X-ray. Lord, X-ray me. X-ray me. The psalmist says, "Search me and find me. If there's any wicked way in me." There is always wickedness. There's always some omissions. There's always some thoughts that just flew in there. You don't leave it there. There are certain things, action. You took it and you didn't even know. We need to repent of all this, so that the enemy will not have something to lay hand on in your life, in my life. It's just a single way, the secret of overcoming every day. You don't leave anything unattended to that is not dealt with by the blood. Make sure you take them to the cross. Make sure you ask the Lord to deal with those things. Sometimes not even you. It could be somebody in your family. It could be your lineage. It could be where you came from. You have to cleanse it. You have to, you know, make sure from time to time you present them before the Lord. They don't have to. The devil don't have to use those things against you. Yeah, I know the devil will quote somewhere that says, is there the scripture that says that the father ate sour grape, and then the teeth of the children were set on edge. There's another scripture that says, he said, a day is coming when it shall no longer be said, all right, that the father ate sour grape, and then the teeth of the children are set on edge. So, when you make sure everything is dealt with, the blood of Jesus has taken care of them. You stand pure before him. Our prayers will not be hindered in Jesus' name. How is my submission to God and his word, and then to leadership? How is my submission? May the Lord help us. Number three is transfiguration. Is transfiguration. That's another event. All right. In Matthew chapter 17, let's read Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. Matthew 17, 1 to 3. If we have it on the board, we can read. Matthew 17, 1 to 3. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking
with him.
Here, Jesus chose to reveal, right? Reveal himself to these three disciples. Or else he wouldn't have, you know, taken them along with that journey. But he wanted them to see something beyond the physical Jesus, right? The master they see every day. Of course, maybe they saw him turn water to wine. But beyond all that, because at the time Jesus will ask them, who do men think the Son of Man is? Right. But then it was transfigured in their presence. Jesus put on the glory that he had before coming to the world. And with him was Elijah and who? And Moses talking with him. Here he showed his divinity and his deity. He revealed to the disciples. But one thing we discover that even after that, let us read verse 9 of that same portion. Verse 9. Let's see. To see what is inside Jesus after that experience, that event. And on their way going, Jesus said to them, now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one risen from the dead. One word. The purpose of showing you this is not to brag about it. It's not to tell you. Can you see? The purpose is for you to see and to learn and then be curious. It's for you to know there are some secrets that are kept for you. There are certain things that are meant for you. So Jesus, when you look at this event and thereafter, Jesus never pride himself. Jesus never abused his power or position. Even though he has shown himself to this theory that I'm not just ordinary. I am beyond what you are looking at. This flesh, there is something behind it. And they saw the glory. And they were all thrilled. And Peter said, look, let's stay here. Let's make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Elijah, and one for... Forget about us. We don't mind. When you are in the presence of God, you will not be in need of anything. You don't feel any need. Because his presence satisfies. You wonder, you know, when the Bible says that Moses was in the presence of God on the mountain 40 days, 40 nights. Did he go with water? Did he go with food? No. Nothing. It's the presence of God met him there. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. It was after the fast that he hungered because heaven filled him. The glory of God filled him. The presence of God is everything. Let's pray for that presence. Let's pray for that presence. Let's go beyond the normal prayer, the normal thing we do. Let's put some gear. Let's put some things into it. Let's cry more and say, Lord, is this all about? Is this all? Maybe the disciple would have been asking, Jesus, we are following you. In fact, that's the time you ask. Jesus said, we left everything. So what will be our reward? What will be? What do you have for us? Jesus gave him the answer. But then, from here, they have been able to see that this man, though he's in the flesh, is not of this world truly. Let's pray for more of his presence. Put in one more hour to seek him. Desire to wake up in the night and pray. Read the scripture. We've heard it again and again. But practice. It's when you practice, you begin to see. It's when you practice it, you begin to see changes. It's when you now want to do it. But I want to tell you, let me warn you. If you want to do it truly, the devil will fight you. Your flesh will be number one to fight you. And you can't go that much. You can't pray 1 hour extra. You are going to war following day. You can't do this. You can't do that. There are so many things. But, brethren, the way up is down. When we submit to him, when we desire him more, it will be available. In his word, in prayer. And the Lord will show us mysteries. In the mighty name of Jesus. There are some questions I put before God now. Tell him to, you know, work on them for me. There are some things, mystery, that Lord, only heaven has the answer. And it's only heaven that can unveil and reveal those secrets. If you don't ask, you don't receive. Jesus said, ask and you shall do what? Shall receive. If you don't ask, it means, oh, you are satisfied. Right. The glory of God. Let's crave for it. Let's desire it. Let's hunger for it. How many times? There's something here I want us to look at. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. Let's read verse 51 to 54. That is what we did in the body ministration. But then let's read verses 55 and 56. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. So when they rejected and they did not receive Jesus, let's see what happened in verse 54. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. Right? They rejected Jesus. They said, no, Jesus, no, not in this village. Not in this village. The disciple felt, this is an insult. Jesus, for that matter. The one we saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let's call fire down, consume them, just like Elijah did in his own time. Jesus said, no. You don't know the kind of spirit inside of you. Jesus did not abuse. I'm repeating that again. Jesus did not abuse the power that he had. He did not misuse it. He said, that power is meant for transformation. That power is for salvation of people. How many times, brethren, how many times were we at a time crossroad, we feel like calling fire down because somebody insulted us. Somebody will not allow us to get what we need to get. Or somebody will not, maybe in a disagreement with us, or we are rejected, we are not honored, or we are not blessed, or whatever it is, and we feel like that thing just, you know, rise up inside of us. Let there be vengeance right now. Jesus said, no, that power is not for that. That power is to convince souls, convince sinners, make them believe, get into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see that we have a long way to go? Me, personally, I have a long way to go. Because when we are crossed and we are in a place where we feel my right is not giving me, and these people need to know I'm not a nice person. Right? So that means our flesh is still on the way. So that is why oftentimes God is not trusting us with his power yet. If God is going to trust us with his power, it's just like you giving a knife, a sharp knife, to a 2-year-old boy or girl. Will you trust that that little girl or boy with that knife? But he sees every adult carrying knife. Why can't I be given knife? But you know, you cannot trust that little girl with knife. But the time is coming when he grows up, all right, becomes a youth. He knows how to apply knife rightly. Then he can handle knife. Maybe we have not yet matured to the place where we can handle power. power rightly. That's so we need to mature. We need to grow for us to be in a position where God can depend on you and me so that we don't misapply, misuse the authority or the power. You have to cast out demons. Yeah, we are going to do that. We are going to do that. But we are not to use it for destructive purposes. Not vengeance. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. You know, some of us, maybe that boss in the office that is proving difficult, I need to let him know I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God. No. There's another way that power can be used. He will be convinced. He will repent. Amen. Amen. I'm in a school. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Okay, so brethren, God is telling us, He wants us to move. This event in the life of Jesus is telling us all we are seeing with our physical eyes, they are just the preambles. They are just the beginning. The miracles we are hearing about is just the beginning. There are more things that God is here to do, and it will happen in Jesus' name. The fourth event we're looking at is the crucifixion. Hallelujah! The crucifixion, that is the place where there was substitution. My position was taken over, your position was taken over. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, let's read it. He was made sin. Sin. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You know what that means? It says, look, they are not guilty, I'm guilty. All these ones, no, I am the one that is guilty. So I carry all their guilt. That was what Jesus did. He made Him, God the Father made Him. He yielded Himself for that. So every sin, the sins of all human race, right from the Garden of Eden up to as many as will be born again until rapture, until the end comes, in arrears and in advance, for as many as will receive and believe, He carried it. He became sin. And sin being what it is and is, cannot behold iniquity. When He saw Jesus, it's like sin, you know, the entire sin, the ball rolled together and He was carrying it. So the Father could not but take off His eyes from Him. The Father cannot look on Him because He is holy. Hallelujah. So He took off His eyes and Jesus had to cry, Elohim, Elohim, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That tells you what sin does, separate man from God. Wherever there is sin, God takes off His eyes. If that sin is not atoned for, if that sin is not covered, God cannot look at it. That is why everyone, every sinner in the world, they are sinners because they have not yet come under. Until they say, Lord, have mercy on me, and they don't fall into the grade. Until they repent, they are outside. And that is why the only prayer God wants to hear from them is, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. Some of them think, okay, well, maybe we can bribe God, give the best offering, buy the best gift and give to the pastor or give to the leaders, and it's happening all over the world. You see how the devil is breaking into, you know, into churches in the spirit realm, what they do. Right? They come there with their influence, with their power, with their money, with their wealth. And that blindfolds the church where discernment is not in operation. Hello? Hello? Thank God we don't have that here. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I've heard of somebody who for the first time got to a prayer meeting because she was sent to disturb and disrupt and cut short what God was doing in that nation. She got there. The only person that had the discernment, this lady, no, we shouldn't allow her to come. She shouldn't join us. She should not be part of these secret people who are praying. But to cut a long story short, that day gave a special offering. Think about a church, maybe a church that all the collection throughout the week or throughout the month is like $10. Just an example. Here, somebody just came and put $200 in the plate. Say, wow. Okay. So we can allow him. We can allow her. And then by the time he was coming again, he said, I feel like buying a car. This pastor, he has no bicycle, has nothing. And then, not only that, I feel like buying a house. Gradually, they crept into some places. Thank God for discernment here. They crept in into some place and broke the move of God. They are not able to stop it in totality, but they are able to weaken. So the first thing God is looking for is the heart, your heart. Not your pocket. Your heart. You must be born again. Jesus died for you. That's why he was born. And we are celebrating Christmas. He took your place on the cross. So that you don't have to go to hell. You have to admit that. You have to take it. You have to believe it. And you must come to a place where you submit and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And then, when you have done that, the blood of Jesus covers you. You are cleansed. You are washed. Every other thing can follow. God can use you to do mighty things. Amen. I repeat again, we don't have that here in Mount Zion. To God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where am I? We are at the crucifixion. Amen. He knew no sin, but he was made sin. He had to carry it. So if Jesus is carrying it, we don't have to carry it today. And that's why we have to acknowledge it every time we come, we fall short. Every time we are reminded of our shortcoming, we have to do what? We have to let it go with Christ. We have to, tell him. We have to repent. We have to submit to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus kept himself pure until he got to the cross. Do you know how many times he was provoked? Even after he was arrested, they provoked him just to make him angry, so that he will not be qualified for that cross. Though the devil may not know everything that Jesus was about to do, that his death was going to bring about deliverance, but they just want to torture him, and did everything in awe. He did not sin. He kept himself pure. Hallelujah. We need, brethren, to die daily. According to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we need to die daily. There are many things in our life that we have to surrender to the Lord. The crucifixion happened once, but then we must yield ourselves. Alright? To allow the finished work on the cross to be applied in our ways of living, in our thought, in our walk, in our relationship. The cross is needed every day to deal with certain things in our lives. Galatians 2:20, 1 Corinthians 15:31. Okay? Lastly, because of our time, is resurrection. There are several events, but I will just mention five today, because the remaining two, we can't do that. This resurrection. Jesus resurrected with power. Hallelujah! They said, we heard that man. We heard that he said. The third day, he will do something that he said is going to rise. Is that true? Maybe disciples, they are up to something. They are going to steal his body. So let's do something. Let's play. Let's be smart. Let's corner them. So let's make sure, number one, we roll a big stone that no one will be able to roll away from that, from the mouth of the grave. That's number one. Make sure we seal the grave with the singlet, the authority. That is a law in the land. Wherever you see that singlet, a signature, no one dare go there. You do that, you are against the Roman authority and against the land. We do that. That is the second thing. The third thing, we are going to post guards. They will be there 24/7. And they are ready to shoot at sight. Whoever comes near, gun him down. Whoever you see, gun that person down. Because that is a no-go area. So, all the three things were in place. But when the day, the time of resurrection, when the time my Lord was to come out of the grave, no machine gun, no human tricks, no human entity, power, influence, position, not even the rock could stop Jesus. Because he used the heavenly power. There was an earthquake. The earthquake that shook everywhere. And just an angel rolled away the stone. And all the men, let's read the scripture. All the men were like dead. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, 2 to 4. Are we there? Matthew 28, 2 to 4. Can we read that? Okay. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. 3. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. Amen. Now let's just read 18 to 20. 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. So when Jesus rose from the dead, what did he say? What was the word? What the words that came from him? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and do what? And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That power that the devil was looking for, is now given to Jesus. When he has submitted and he has gone the lowest level and he died in order to give us salvation. The Bible says God now, in Philippians chapter 2, God has highly exalted him. He has given him a name that is what? Greater than every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every name must bow, of the things in heaven, things under the earth, things on earth and things under the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the scripture says that if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus dwell in you, Romans 8:11, he that raised Christ from the grave shall quicken your mortal bodies by spirit that dwelleth in you. We need the power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. We need that power today. The resurrection of Jesus is the first of all that have slept. It's the first. There's going to be more resurrections. But before he comes back, we need the power that raised him from the dead to be at work. At work in our heart, at work in our home, at work in our ministries, at work in whatever we do. Hallelujah. The Lord bless us. Shall we please rise? Let us ask the Lord. We need more of you. We need more of you. But let me emphasize this again. I think I need to say it. The illustration I gave about powers of darkness going, breaking churches, is a testimony of somebody who had done with the devil. A pastor made reference, you know, by that man. But down with the devil, he has gone far. He told the secret how they were operating in those days. Alright? What they were doing to weaken churches. I thank God that here in Mount Zion, the Lord has raised mighty men and women who first of all gave their life to God. Those who are born again, those who are spirit-filled, those who see the need to expand the kingdom, who are delivered from the power of the kingdom, and the Lord bless them, bless the work of their hands. They now see the need to expand the kingdom. So they give out of their abundance. They bless the work of God. It's a different thing entirely. So I just want to clarify that. Hallelujah. Let us ask the Lord. We need the power. We need your power. We need your spirit, oh God. Fill us. Fill us, oh God, with your presence. We need your presence like never before. Mighty Father, help us like never before. We need you, God. Holy Spirit, overshadow us. Holy Spirit, overshadow us. Holy Spirit, overshadow us. Holy Spirit, overshadow us. Thank you. Holy Spirit, overshadow us. We need you. We need you. There are so many things we are yet to know. There are so many things, oh God, that we don't understand yet. Lord, it is now communion with you. It is now walking with you. It is now submission to you, to your word. Father, that we begin to see you reveal all those secrets. So, Lord, we need you. We yield to you this day. We surrender to you. We yield our heart, our lives. We yield everything unto you. Have your way. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way by us. Lord God Almighty, have your way in Mount Zion. Have your way in this place. Have your way in every family. Have your way in the life of our children. Have your way in the life of our youth. Have your way in the life of our adult. Have your way in the life of the aged ones. Have your way, O God, Ancient of Days, in every marriage. Have your way, Ancient of Days, in the life of all the ministers. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your way, mighty Father. We yield to you. We surrender to you. We cannot do it without you. So, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Take preeminence, Lord. Take preeminence, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As you have always been, you have always proved it. Father, wherever you are, darkness cannot dwell there. You are the light of the world. And so in you, there is no darkness. Thank you, Father, for forces of darkness cannot penetrate. Lord, this atmosphere, this strong atmosphere, by your grace, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We worship you. We bless your name. But this is the place where your glory is being revealed. So, Lord, reveal more. Lord, speak more. Lord, open our ears in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. Take all the honor. Jesus' mighty name. Amen.